Psalm 62 through 66. Now, again, remembering that these psalms are types of songs. You know, they're songs that they would sing. And so a lot of the things, a lot of the way that we see them written, they are speaking to themselves. You know, they are encouraging themselves. And that's a good thing. How many of you ever encourage yourself? How many of you ever smack yourself around? Get your act together. Straighten up. All right? Stop this foolishness. Get your head right. Get your heart right. So he says in verse 1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. My soul waiteth upon God. Just waiting on God. Just waiting on him. Knowing that, what do we call that? Waiting on God. Give me another word for that. Patience, okay. Hope, right? Something's got to change, right? It's got to get better sometime. Somebody told me the other day, this too shall pass, right? And that is the case. We hope. That's our hope, is that something will change and we can enjoy again. Verse 2, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. I shall not be greatly moved. Not just I shall not be moved, but I shall not be greatly moved. Put that in English for me, would you? Stubborn, okay. Steadfast, okay. So, you know, I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to be pushed out. I'm not going to be removed. I shall not be greatly moved. There's some troubles, right? We talk about sober. The other word that we use for that is balanced, right? So I'm balanced. And so would we go from one extreme to the other? Right? We wouldn't want to do that. We don't want to have the highs, the really high highs and the low lows. We don't want that great extreme in our lives. We want to be balanced. We might have a few rumbles here and there, right? A few where we're not having a really great day, but we don't want to have an awful day, right? And or we're having a good day, but we don't want to get our head so high in the clouds that then when the trouble comes, we can't manage. So just kind of balanced, you know, a few rumbles here and there, a few soft spots in the road, but no pitfalls. Verse number 4, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. So, how many of us know somebody who is just lovey to our face, but behind our back, the knives and the daggers are out, right? And so they're kind toward us, but behind our back, they are cursing us. Verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God. Wait thou only upon God. So it's not a matter of, again, he's talking to himself. He's encouraging himself. The battery just went dead, I guess, Barbara. Just go dead. So we have to encourage ourselves. We have to straighten ourselves out sometimes. Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. All right? So now we're not greatly moved. We're just moved or not moved. All right? So the one thing I'm not going to do is give up on God. The one thing I'm not going to do is lose my faith. One thing I'm not going to do is look somewhere else for hope. I'm going to put my faith in God. I'm going to keep trusting in God. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. So what do we see there? See him encouraging himself. And then once he has his confidence back, he turns toward the people. Not just to encourage myself, but to encourage others. But that's why it's so important that we keep our lives in a position where we can help others. Because if we're in a position of duress, how can we help somebody else? And I know that I've said this many times, God did not put us here to serve ourselves. He put us here to serve others. That's why many times we'll find that the mechanic fixes everybody's vehicles but his own. The carpenter fixes everybody's house but his own. Is there anything else you do, Ronnie? But the plumber fixes everybody else's but his own, right? The electrician, the counselor, hold on a second. The pastor, ooh, haven't we seen that? Helps everybody else's family while his own suffers. Why? Because God designed us to serve others. Well, let's hope not, right? I don't. So we're always, but we're designed. That's why we're at full affirmation, full fulfillment when we're serving others. You know why people get lost in their salvation and their Christianity and they get discouraged? Because we get saved and we get baptized and we join the church, we become part of God's organization, and we don't do anything with it. And if we don't work, if we don't put ourselves to work for God, then maybe a month or two into it, we go, well, really, what changed? Now, some of you, probably everybody, has recognized that I've changed the way I eat, and I'm on a certain plan, okay? So somebody says, well, what do you do? And I say, this is what you do. And they say, well, can I do this? Well, can I eat this? Well, what if I just have a little bit of this? Well, what if I just have that? Let me just explain it to you. And I told one of my friends a month or two ago, I said, let me explain it to you real quickly. If you buy that and don't follow the plan, all you did is spend your money, wasted it. Told somebody that this week. I said, I'll give you your money back. You don't come into this with excuses. And here's the problem. We do the same thing with God. We say, I want to get saved, but I still want to sin a little bit. I still want to serve God, but I don't really want to do the work. I don't want to put, I want my life to get better, but I don't want to have any work involved in it. Let me explain something to you. It's up to you. Jesus died on the cross to wash your sins away. But if you want your life to get better, you've got to make the changes. That means that when the Bible says don't do it, it means don't do it. It doesn't mean except on Wednesdays. Yes, sir. I won't tell you. real simple. I put dairy in my coffee every morning. That's against the rules. That's the one thing but that's the difference between, you know, wearing this suit and wearing the one I wore when I graduated high school. You know, but that's the difference. So, and I know, here's the thing, Brother Don, and you brought up a good point. There's that last 20 pounds, I'm probably going to have to give that up. And that may be the same case in our Christian life. You know, there's that one thing we hang on to, and we say, well, that one thing's not making a big difference. It might be the difference. It might be the one thing that we're hanging on to, and we've prayed about it, and God told us, get rid of it. But we say, but this is so important to me. But if we give it up, maybe we'll realize what it's all about. Again, salvation is by the blood, by faith in Jesus. But our maturity, our understanding, our fulfillment as a Christian, there may be that. So if you're coming into it compromised and say, but I still want to do this, I still want to do that. God will forgive your sins. God will save your soul. But your life won't change if you don't understand that. That's why repentance is so important. We've got to turn away from the world, turn away from the sin, turn away from the selfishness, and turn to God, trust in God, and add to it, right? It's not just what we don't do, it's what we add to it, and that's get in the Word, read it, pray, and serve others. So, for David, first he had to encourage himself, but once he encouraged himself, then he could help others. And that is what Christianity, that is what church is. Now, how do you do that? I'm not saying you have to preach or play the piano or sing in the choir or sing specials. There's something you do that is helping others, that is serving others. Now, maybe it's not obvious. Doesn't matter if anybody else notices it, because it's not about other people seeing it. It's about what we're doing in service to God by serving others. God doesn't need a house.
but I could help somebody build one of theirs or whatever, you know, give them habitation. God doesn't need clothes, but I could give clothes to those who need it. God doesn't need food, but I could give food to those who need it. God doesn't need water, but I could give water to those who need it. So how do I serve God? What can I do for him? Serve others. That's how it works. And as we do that, it builds us up, it encourages us, it gives us greater hope and greater faith. That's how it's done. It's not just what we do in here. You know, again, even when we're singing those hymns, do we have that connection with God? Is it like a prayer? You know, he brought me out of the miry clay. Are we thinking about what God has done for us? Set my feet on the rock to stay? All that stuff. Are we really conscious of what we're singing? Amazing grace. Start, yeah. And it connects. And that's what it's supposed to do. That's what worship is. Give me another word for worship from the Bible. You know the word worship, actually, if we translated it, what it would actually be? Praise? Dedication? Oh, I could tell you're going to be shocked. Kiss. Kiss. When's the last time you kissed God? How do we kiss God? Praise, devotion, dedication. That's how we do it. We call it worship. The word translated, kiss. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. But that's, you know, again, that's what we're doing. That how can I kiss God? By kissing others? No. By worship. I can't actually put my lips on him, but what can I do with my lips? I can praise him. Whether that's just a testimony or whether that's a song, whether whatever. But that's what the word actually is. Okay. Verse number 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. What is it that you don't think God knows about you? Well, you say God knows everything. But what is it we haven't talked to him about? And sometimes we'll do everything we can to try to solve something before we actually go to God and say, God, here's my problem. Here's my burden. Here's my need. Pour your heart out, it says. Verse 10, trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Again, the highs and the lows. So we've got to be able to have the high points in life, the celebrations of life, in such a way, and there are those words again, this too shall pass. Four words. On the high days, this too shall pass. On the low days, this too shall pass. So that we don't get so comfortable in the good times that we can't deal with the bad times. And we don't get so lost in the bad times that we don't even realize when it's turned to good again. And that's what does happen. Verse number 11, God has spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongeth unto God. One of the kids asked me a question this morning on the way. He said, is there such a thing as luck? In the Bible, there is a Bible answer to it. And it says, in essence, that time happens to us all. That there's, and it's in Ecclesiastes. I'd have to look at that, but I don't want to say it's time and chance, but it could be exactly what it says. But the point is that everybody's going to have good times and everybody's going to have bad times. And so we might call it luck. And then people say, oh no, I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. Or it's not just luck. It's providence. But what God said is that it happens to us all. You know, everybody has a good day and a bad. Okay, now you're going to make me look it up. Because y'all are looking at me like I have four heads. Y'all know where Ecclesiastes is? I think it's in my Bible. Is it 9/11? I was looking at 11, not 9-11. Yeah, time and chance. So that is what it says. Time and chance happens to them all. Thank you. So is that luck? What we call it. It's our term for it. But in other words, sometimes things just happen. You know, you have a flat tire. Did God give you a flat tire? Right? Lightning strikes your house. Did God make that lightning bolt come down? The earth opens up and swallows you down. Probably was God. but right, there are times when God will use what we consider natural sources to accomplish his purpose. But most of the time, 99.99999 times, percent of the time, it's going to be you ran over a nail, right? Your house was just built there and the static electricity discharged there, right? Tornado just come through there. We can't blame God for that. Now, people do. But God says time and chance happens to them all. So, what he's saying in 62:11 is God is in control. God is in control. Somebody asked 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, said, let's pray that storm turns off. And it did. Why did it turn off? Because we prayed? Maybe. Right? So see, we'll know those answers when we get to heaven. Guys, we're not taking God out of it, but we're acknowledging that God uses circumstances to affect his will. But most of the time, what he did is he took that little ball and he spun it around and it's just working, right? The earth is working and it's spinning around. Right? They prayed too, right? The guy that gets in the end zone and kneels down and prays, did God choose the Dolphins over the Jets? Every time. Right? But that's the idea. You know, let's give God the glory all the time in all things. But understand something. When everything happens in our lives, we can't say that was just God's providence. Right? That God allowed it to happen, but did God make it happen? And that's really the difference. So, it's exactly what he's doing, letting life happen. But he does intervene. When does he intervene? He intervenes with prayer. He intervenes in purpose. So he does intervene. But we can't take every circumstance of life and point at God and say, you did this. No, he didn't. If I took a knife and cut my thumb off, how am I going to blame God for that? I did that. And if our lives get better, we can follow God's plan and look to him for assurance and for direction and for increase. But at the end of the day, if you stand up with your foot on the shovel and pray and don't push down with your foot, you're not going to get a hole. He doesn't expect us to lean on a shovel and say a prayer. He expects us to put the shovel in the dirt and push it down and pull the dirt out. That's how it works. So anyway, all that just to say time and chance happens to us all. Verse 12, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. The power belongs to God, the mercy belongs to God, and then look at this, thou renderest to every man according to his work. When we stand before God as a born-again believer, my sins are washed away. I love that. Don't you love that? My sins are washed away. But I will stand before God and give an account and be judged for what I have done with what God has blessed me with. What God has entrusted to me, which he has entrusted to us, the Word of God. He has entrusted to us this time in history. This is our time. What have we done with it? This lifetime, what are we doing with it? And that's what I'm going to answer for. Not for, you know, these sins along the way. That's washed away. But what did I do with what I was given? Jesus uses that parable over and over again. That they were entrusted, you know, with one or two or three or four or five tokens. I can't think of a word. What's that? Talents. And what did they do with them? Well, I buried it because I knew I was going to be judged for it. He said, you didn't do anything with it. God's given us the opportunity to share the gospel, to share our blessings, to sing, to preach, whatever it is, to just love people. What are we doing with what God has given us? That's the question. That's what our judgment is going to be about. 63:1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. That remind you of a song we sing? Because, verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. What we call worship. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Uh-oh. We don't do that around here, do we? All through here. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Think of this. Think of this desire to be with God. How do we recognize that? We're searching. We long for his company. It's not good for us to find ourselves an hour or two or three into the day and realize we hadn't talked to him yet. It's not good for us to reach the end of the day and look back and say, Lord, I forgot to talk to you today. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh, I need to be near you. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Verse 7, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Again, that shadow, that closeness. My soul followeth hard after thee. My right hand upholdeth me. Thy right hand upholdeth me. I'm counting on you. Lord, I need you. I need your presence. I need you there. A companion. We think about God as a companion, as a friend, as someone we want to be with us. Verse 9, those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go in the lower parts of the earth. What's he saying? Is he praying against his enemy? Well, he's praying that they won't succeed against him. It's not about them. It's about my safety. It's about my survival. It's about my ability to continue doing God's work. 64:1, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Isn't that a big problem? Isn't that a problem? One of the hardest things that we'll do is go to the doctor and get a test and have to wait. Doctor says, we're going to run some tests. Run a test. When will I get the results? Oh, we should have them back to you in 7 or 8 days. Why does it take so long? That's what we want to know. Why does it take so long? No, and that 7 or 8 days, we're looking at everything. We're examining everything. We're reviewing all of our records and making sure all of our policies are in place and updated and considering what would happen. And somebody called me the other day and asked about Brother Al's funeral service. Remember Brother Al's service? Said they sung a song. What was the name of the song, they said? What did they sing? And I thought I knew what it was. And I said, was it this? And they said, no, I don't think it was that. But she said, but just understand, he's not sick. He's just planning his funeral. Right? Just making plans. Write that stuff down and make it a lot easier on everybody else. But we got to think about that. I don't know if he's in one of those periods where he's waiting for the doctor to call back and tell him what it is. But that's the hardest thing. And David says, deliver me from the fear. Preserve my life from the fear. I don't want to be walking and looking over my shoulder and scared of my own shadow. I don't want to be walking, wondering what's next. Guys, when we have our faith in God, our assurance of heaven, we should not fear death. And I've told you about my friend that called, and she said, but Pastor, I'm scared. I said, but Lois, you've never died before. It's okay. It's okay to be a little timid about this. You've not done it. But you know that you're saved and you know what awaits on the other side. You know Jesus is there and you've loved Jesus all your life. Now you get to go see him. Now you get to go be with your loved ones. And so we know what's on the other side. We don't have to fear. If the worst thing that could happen is I die, we shouldn't be afraid of that. But that period of waiting, that period of wondering, is so stressful. David says, preserve my life from fear, the fear of the enemy. And you can make that enemy anything in your mind you want it to be. Don't be scared of it. Psalm 66:1, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Joyful to whom? Joyful to whom? Joyful to God. Joyful to God. A joyful noise. Joyful noise. Verse 2, sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. When we sing to God, when we praise God, would we define that as glorious? Are we putting our heart? Again, I go back to this old survey where people said, the young people said, we left the church, we've left the church behind, not because we don't believe. We've gone to this new music, not because necessarily we prefer it over the hymns, but what we recognize is that when people sing the hymns, they don't seem to be engaging. No, they don't put their heart into it. They're just kind of singing, Mighty Fortress is our God. That's one of the songs you've got to sing. You know, get behind it. Yeah, because everybody got involved. And music is one of those wonderful things. You know, we could see someone, I think of Brother Kyle. We were at his mother-in-law's service at the funeral home. And they were, you know, they have the screen up there with the words, and they were playing the music. And Kyle, who had at that point become nearly nonverbal. I guess I'm done. But he stood there and looked at that screen, and he just sung. It was just incredible. It is well with him. And he was just singing along. You know, even though, you know, the dementia had taken over, he was, those old songs, and I see that over and over again. That's why so many times whether it's, you know, somebody from hospice that comes in and sings, or whether I've stood at Brother Pitchford's bedside and sung with him. You know, those, because those are the things that really, like Brother Ronnie said, they really connect. And that's what he's saying here. You know, praise him, but make it glorious. Make it heavenly, I guess is a good word to say. Verse 3, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. So it's the one thing, we talk about God's love and his mercy, and we talk about all the goodness of God, but never forget this. God is Almighty God. And if God can say, let there be light, and there was light. By the way, did you look at the order of creation? There wasn't a sun, but there was light. Isn't that incredible? He put light on everything. And so God has the power, again, to open up the earth and swallow us up. God is all powerful. He is loving. He is kind. He is merciful. God is all powerful. You know, while the trend is to emasculate men now, they've also tried to strip the power away by saying there is no God. God is God. You know, and it's tragic. that every one of these people who makes their living and finds their joy in diminishing and dismissing and spreading the gospel of hate against God are going to stand one day in judgment. And God will have the final word. He is God. And so, in all the things we talk about, look at what it says in verse 6. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. Now, there are, so we've talked about this. There are some who say, well, you know, it wasn't that the Hebrews passed over the Red Sea on dry ground. It was just shallow. And then, you know, like 18 inches of water. And somebody said, well, what a miracle that Pharaoh's army drowned in 18 inches of water. Okay. But the Bible is clear. It was dry ground. It wasn't muddy ground. It was dry ground. Why? Because God said so. That's it. Incredible. Verse 7, he ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Oh, bless our God, ye people. Make the voice of his praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. Again, stubbornness, but faith. Faith, not shaking in our faith, not shaking in our confidence of God. For thou, O God, verse 10, has proved us, tried us as silver is tried. Again, there's that thing. Guys, the Christian life is not perfect. You could go to church every service. You could pray at every appointed time. You could study your Bible every chance you have to sit down, memorize it, every word of it. I want to assure you of one thing. Even the Christian's going to have trouble. Why? It proves us. It tests us. Because we're here. Let me ask you, if my life was perfect and I never had any trouble, how could I relate to your trouble? If your life was perfect and you never had trouble, how could you relate to my trouble? How could we, if we never had any trouble, relate to the world in their trouble? Guys, we have to minister. Angels can't preach the gospel as effectively as we can because they never sinned, because they don't know the salvation through the blood of Christ as we do. I mean, they could, you know, mentally they could know it. But see, I know my sins are washed away. You know, your sins are washed away. We have a different understanding, a full understanding of the gospel. Yes. Even the sibling rivalry, Jesus, you know, His brother's like, well, aren't you going to go to the festival, big man? Right? He said, I'll tell you what, y'all go ahead and go. I'll go if I want to. Right? But he experienced that. Again, Jesus lived in a home with half brothers and sisters. Right? They weren't his full brother and sister because God is his father. He lived in a home with his stepfather, as we would say, because Joseph was not his daddy. Right? So he lived in a blended home. He had sibling rivalry. His mother, we could see his mother scolding him. Didn't you know we'd worry about you? You didn't go with us. When he stayed back at the temple when he was 12 years old. Those 12-year-olds, I'll tell you, they give you a fit. Right? So yes, that's so important that Jesus did walk on the earth to relate to us. Not to relate to us, so we could relate to him. When he sat down at that well, remember? Why did he sit down at the well? Because he was tired. He sat on the well because he was tired. And he said to the woman, give me water, I'm thirsty. And he sent the guys to town. Why? Because he was hungry. He was human. 100% human. 100% God. You say the math doesn't add up. Well, that's the way it is. Verse 12, we're almost finished. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire, through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. My prayers aren't getting answered. I need other people to pray for me. Well, what's keeping your prayer from getting answered? What's keeping your prayer from getting through? What is that iniquity that we're holding in our heart, that one thing that you're not going to give up? That's keeping you back from your goals. It's keeping you back from the realization. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. All right. Any questions, comments, criticisms, complaints? Brother Jimmy. It's just one of those things that keeps us, it gives us peace. It gives us, it's worship. Draws us closer. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? When you ride the lawnmower? All right, let's take a break.